Parshas Chukas. I'll lower the volume here. Parshas Chukas. We deal with the whole first part of the parsha. Deals with the union of Por Adumah. And we know that Por Adumah is mechaper for two averis. I mean, primarily these two averis. One is a teitzor of the other. It's a chet of the Egel Azov. Chazal say, Tova Yoim, let the mother come to Kaneach Tzayas Beno to clean up the mess of the Vlad, meaning the Egel. The Egel is the Ben Poro. And Shkech. And that's the purpose of the Por Adumah. And also it's a kapora for the chet of the Eitz Hadas, both of which contributed to death coming to the world. Both Por Adumah. And because we know that after the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, the Misa was decreed on the world. And we know that after the Matan Torah, Poskos HaMoson, and actually Ani Amarti Elohim Atem, we would have gone back to the level of Adam Rishon before the Chet. But then after the Egel Azov, we brought death back. And that's, in fact, one of the reasons why Por Adumah is dafka found after a person dies, Tumas Meis. What's the connection? Why, when there's Tumas Meis, do we need a kapara on the Por Adumah? What's the Shaychus? You want to have a kapara Por Adumah? So for Egel Azov, make a kapara every month. We'll make a kapara on Yom Kippur. Why do you make a kapara by Tumas Meis? Because since the Egel Azov created Misa on the world, so therefore, every time there's Tumas Meis, there's some level of kapara that's needed for the chet of the Egel Azov. The question is, and again, Rashi just brings this vault. He says, "B'shem Moshe Adarshan, Moshe Ben Shifcha, Shetinif Plat and Shomelach, Amatovei Imo, Utekanei Chatzoya, Kach Tovei Poro, Utechaper Alega." So obviously, this Rashi says that the Por Adumah is a kapora. It's more than just a connection between a cow and a calf. There's obviously a deeper kesher between the Por Adumah and the Chet Egel Azov. So I want to try to mavaya that a little bit. And how does the Chet of the Egel Azov have anything to do with the Chet of the Eitz Hadas? Those are the separate Chet. But some reason there's a little bit of a kesher here between Eitz Hadas and of Egel Azov and then the Por Adumah, which ultimately is a kapora to some level on both. The Pasuk now continues and says, "Zeis ha-teiro, odom ki yomus bo'el." So simply, without any drashas chazal, it's talking about how a person becomes tomei. You could become tomei either by negeya b'meis, if you touch a dead body. You can become tomei by going into oil ha-meis. And that's the Porsche Taich, odom ki yomus bo'el. It's talking about tomei's oil. But Rashi comes, brings on a famous chazal. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, "This is the end of brachas. Torah is only miskayim by somebody's name is atzmeila. Shenema zois torah so zois atorah odom ki yomus boil." So everybody asks again, what's the kesher from amelus batera and parshas Por Adumah? The shachas. Now, if we go back to parshas Bechukosai. So the pasuk starts with "In Bechukosai Teilech." Now we know that the entire Torah is divided between Chukim and Mishpatim, and we know that even the Mishpatim, the Rishonim explained, the mitzvahs that are logical, are also beyond our comprehension. It just means we can somehow connect to it logically. Right? We don't know the reasons of the Torah. They're all chukim, really, to us. But mishpatim is something we could connect to in logic. And chukim are things that we have no, we don't begin to understand what's behind it. So you would think, b'chukosai teilechu, you would think that's talking about shatnez, basa b'cholov, Por Adumah. Por Adumah is the ultimate chuk, right? So it's chukas ha-Torah. Comes Rashi, And Rashi says, what's the chukas ha-tera? So Rashi says, yochol kiyum ha-mitzvahs, mani mekayim b'chukos ha-teleichu, shetiyu amelim b'tera. That you should toil in learning. So everybody asks, that's a chuk? That's the most logical thing anybody will tell you. Right? Hemanti ki adaber ani anisi mohid ani amarti b'chov, so you call all them koise. Chassam Sofer always used to say, hemanti ki adaber ani anisi mohid. I can be believed that I succeeded if I say ani anisi mohid, I worked for it. Ani amarti b'chov, if I say I did it in my leisure, call all them koise, if everybody will tell me I'm lying. That's how he ties to the psukim. But any badass will tell you that the only way you could succeed in something as difficult as intense Torah learning is by toiling. That's poshut seichel. So what does it mean? Why did I go under the banner of choik? What shaykhis does it have to choik? So taket is chadush yerim in parshas b'chukos and taket esef for kasha. That's his question. Okay. Now we know there's a very difficult Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. We had this 2 weeks ago. We spoke about this a couple of years ago, this Mishnah in Perek Beis and Pirkei Avos. It says, Haskein atzmecha lul moiter. You should prepare yourself to learn Torah. Lufi she'enu yirush alocha. That's more or less the lashon of the Mishnah. Because Torah is not an inheritance. Meaning, if you think the Torah is just going to come to you just like that, it's not happening. Haskin atzmecha lul moed Torah. Prepare, work. Because it's not a yirush. It's not an inheritance. So all the mefarshim ask, as I state, Torah tziv alonu moeshe meirosha kilas yankiv. It says clearly that the Torah is a Meirosha. So how could you say the Torah is not a Meirosha? Torah is a Yerusha. It actually is. That's a kasha many ask. There's many different explanations in this, in what's pshat in this. How could we say that? Okay, go to the next question. We learn about Misas Miriam in this week's parasha. So Chazal tell us that what was Misas Miriam? As soon as Miriam died, so they had a problem with the water. So Chazal tell us that you see from here that the 40 years that we got water was Bishchus Shel Miriam. That's what's Be'er Shel Miriam. So all the 40 years that we were in the Midbar and we got water, this was in the Bishchus of Miriam. So everybody asks, Vatikovo Shel Miriam V'lo Yehoyo Mayim Lo Eidah. So Rashi says on the spot, Vatikovo Shel Miriam And v'lehoy yomayim le'edem alamed shekol memshono yolohem abeir b'schus v'shel Miriam. So everybody asks over here, why Miriam? What's the shaychus between Miriam and the Be'er? Why did we get the water in the schus of Miriam? Many different answers. The Sifsei Chachamim tries to give a simple pshat. He says, what's the schus v'shel Miriam? So he brings down a pshat, which I actually found in a medrash, this pshat. Because she waited for Moshe, when Moshe was thrown into the water, she waited for him. That's why she was a. The obvious question is, where's the Midah Keneged Midah? Midah Keneged Midah normally means you did something that's specifically related to this limb, to this aver. You did an aver with your eyes, like Shimshon, Lufikach Naku Plishtim Aseinov. Here, she was waiting for a brother. Whatever schus that is, that alone doesn't sound like it should be a big schus. Which sister, if a brother is in the sakone, won't sit to watch to see what will be with him? It would almost be ruthless and heartless for a sister not to do that. But okay, that's a different issue you have to understand. But so she waited for him. Grada Moshe was in the water. And if he was in the fire, she'd be waiting by the fire. So what's the midi keneged midi with the water? It wasn't like she did a pisishtadlus with the water. Pasha, when you read the Sifsei Chacham and the Medrash, it's mashma, because it was water, so we were zayich of the water in her schus. So that can't be the pshat. There has to be something, some deeper idea. What is behind this pshat? That imtina atzma. The Chofetz Chaim, in Parsha Shmois, tries to get a handle on Basi Bas Pare. Basi Bas Pare, when she went to pull Moshe out of the water, so Chazal tells us that her hand stretched out 60 amas. In the Mishkan, I gave a whole cheshbon why 60 amas is keneged the shishim mesechtes in Torah Shebaal Peh. It's really more than 60 mesechtes, but when you make kulon azikin chodem mesechtes, when you mitzayin for everything, it comes out to 60 mesechtes. So keneged the shishim mesechtes of Torah Shebaal Peh, her hand stretched out. Mistama, what Chazal mean is that, you know, Moshe brought down Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebaksav, Torah Shebaal Peh. Mimela, her hand stuck out. The Chofetz Chaim says, why did she stick her hand out? And if you saw something 60 amas away, maybe you'll say a kapitel tehillim. Makes sense. You open up, you say a kapitel tehillim, you say, Rabbanu Shalom, bring it here. But why would you stick out your hand? And Mistam Nadish, what are you doing? If you saw something on the other side of the room, would you stick your hand out? So that's the Chofetz Chaim asks. He says, what's the pshat? So the Chofetz Chaim says a beautiful idea, which this idea answers another very difficult chazal. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that a person should be zoher b'mitzvah kala kebechamur. A person should be careful with a mitzvah kala like a chamur. And the Mishnah says, you know why? She'ein ata yedea matan schoron shel mitzvah. You don't know the matan schar. So everybody asks, forgetting the contradiction in the Mishnah of Mechashev's Chamit, that I spoke about. But everybody asks, what do you mean, Lefi Shein HaTeyideh Matzchon? We learned in the first parak in Pirkei Avos, Al Tiyu Kavodim HaMisham Shemesarav Al Menas L'Kabel Pras. Don't think about reward. We spoke about this also. But it says, don't think about reward. When you do a mitzvah, just do it L'Shma. That's the first parak. Now what are you telling me? That you should be careful with a mitzvah, even if it's a mitzvah kala, because you don't know how much reward. Simple, what the Mishnah is saying is, maybe there's a lot of reward for this mitzvah. I thought you just told me I shouldn't think about reward. Now you're telling me that I should be careful with a mitzvah that seems like it's not much on the reward side, because you never know what the lottery ticket is at the other end. So Mamela, indulge. You never know the winning number. You know, people say with lottery, the lady now that won the $530 million in Florida, an older woman, and you know what happened? She was waiting online for the lottery ticket. There was a younger fella by the counter that would have gotten the winning numbers. He saw an 84-year-old lady. He said, hey, lady, you go first. So now she just went to pick up her check, so she doesn't know who the guy is, but she says a special thank you for the guy who let her go first. I don't know how he feels right now, but that was the bottom line. Al Yidden, we believe that he wouldn't have gotten the winning ticket anyway, so it's not a big deal. But you know how other people think. But so she gave him a yashik koyach. So the Mishnah Pirkei Avos seems to be saying, don't make light. Ain't after your day, you don't know what's the other, who knows? But I thought you told me I shouldn't be thinking about Tzchah B'chla. I thought I'm not supposed to think about Tzchah. Anyway, Chofetz Chaim, when he talks about the Indian of, and I heard a very similar story in Agiyah to the Brisker Rav. Very similar. Mamish may ain't the same story about the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav, when they were, you know, the Brisker Rav was one of the big, in all the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, big opponents to the draft. They were going to draft a woman into the army. There was a huge battle over this. Chazon Ish got involved with the David Ben-Gurion. The end is, Baruch Hashem, it prevailed. It ended up, there was a whole mapecha, and this, it prevailed. It was pushed off, the whole Gius Labanus. But when it looked like it was about to happen, one of the ministers that had to vote was actually a religious man, a Zionistic religious man by the name of Shapiro. And he was out of the country at the time. So they had to postpone the vote. he was a Yelid Brisk, meaning his family was from the city of Brisk, from Europe. A lot of the ministers, by the way, in Eretz Yisrael. Menachem Begin is a Briskel. Menachem Begin was from Brisk. He lived in Brisk. Considered himself a Briskel. So the Briskerov sent a telegram to Shapiro, who was a minister, that he should not come back now. Stay away for another week, make an excuse. And he said, I'm telling you, as a child, as a descendant of Brisk, you're Meshubetim Yam Yerov. And I'm paskening, you have to stay out of the country. So he stayed. Made him stay a week away. At the end of the week, he was going to come back. The Briskerov sent another telegram. Another week. He said, Rebbe, I got to come back. You know, what are you gaining? But anyway, the end of the second week is when the draft got postponed pretty permanently. The Gius Labanus. So they asked the Briskerov afterwards. They figured it's a Rebbe Shemaisi. He knew that if he pushes it up for 2 weeks, well, the Briskerov said it wasn't such. The Briskerov says, when it comes to spirituality, you have to make a status. You have to do what you could do. And even if you can't see how this ishtadlus can pass, when it comes to Gashmias, it doesn't work that way. Hashem wants you to make ishtadlus that makes sense. Right? Hashem doesn't want you to go outside and stick out your hand and go, okay, Rabbanu Shalom, here's my ishtadlus, put in money. The Eibishter says, Vasafta de Gonecho, Vesiroi Shavitzorecho. You do things that make sense. Chavetz Chaim says, when it comes to spirituality, Onu Amelim Umekabalim Schach. The Eibishter wants us to toil. He wants us to work. That's the job. We have to do our ishtadlus. You don't have to see how you're going to get the line between these two dots. You make ishtadlus. So the Briskerov said, if I have the ability to postpone the Gius Labanus for a week, that's my job. What'll be? I don't know what'll be, but this is what I got to do. This is my piece. Says the Chofetz Chaim, when Basi Bas Pare saw Moshe Rabbeinu, she had to stick out her hand. She had to do her thing. That was her job. And that's symbolic of all spirituality. That's why her hand grew 60 amas, because 60 amas represents all the mitzvahs we have come from Torah Shebaal Peh. That's our job in Torah Shebaal Peh. We have to make ishtadlus. That's our job. Onu amelim u'mekabelim schar. Lo yolecham locha ligmor. The Rebbeinu Shem is not looking for the end job by spirituality. Rebbeinu Shem is looking for you to do yours. That's our job, to do our piece. And that's really that's the Ikar Inyan. When the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, mitzvah kala, mitzvah chamura, mitzvah kala means a mitzvah that you don't really see what the outcome is going to be. You know, mitzvah chamura means, wow, I see with this, I can conquer the world with this mitzvah. This is, wow, this is unbelievable. Mitzvah kala, I don't really know what I'm going to accomplish. Says the Mishnah, we're not talking about an Olam Haba. We're talking about right here. You don't know what your avodas Hashem is. Your avoda, what you're going to gain spiritually from doing this mitzvah, ain't that you there? Hashem's not looking for you to finish the job. Hashem's looking at you to toil. That's the job of spirituality. When Miriam went to the well, she didn't go as a sister just to look. She went to help. She went to see maybe she'll be able to do something. Lodeya ma'i osoloi. Lodeya means l'schakamna. She went to do something. Miriam went to the well. She didn't know what, how. Moshe needs a miracle. She's a little girl. There's not much she could do. She's a very little girl, Miriam. Doesn't have much ability. And he needs some. The God Lador, her father, who's the God Lador, was a lot better connected than she was. And the only thing they were able to do was put him in the water. There was no ideas. He needs an open miracle, which is what happened at the end. But she said, I have to make ishtadlus. I have to do something. I have to make my ishtadlus. That's my job. I have to make ishtadlus. That's what Miriam did. That was her thing. The reason why she's rewarded is not for the fact that she had sisterly love. That's normal that any sister would have. She gets rewarded for the fact that she realized that even if you don't see an end in sight, you have a chiyuv to make your job. What you could do, you have a chiyuv to do. She ended up facilitating Moshe's survival, being the shliach. But who would have dreamt? She didn't know. If you would have asked her then, Miriam, so what's your plan? She would say, I don't know. I'm here to see what I could do. What are you? Your mother and father put him in the water and said that they said now they're busy saying Tehillim. What are you doing? I don't know. I'm a 3-year-old girl. I don't know. I'm going to try to do something. She was going to save Moshe. But that was the idea. That's why we give her. That's her schar. Her schar is because she taught Klal Yisrael what hishtadlus means. Now we know the Torah is compared l'mayim. If you notice, it's a very interesting thing. By the mon, there was no hishtadlus. There wasn't a din that we should go to Iraq and hit it and the bread will come out. We didn't have such a thing. You know why? When we went in the mirror in the desert, we needed a supernatural miracle to survive. So for that, by Gashmias, there's no din that you should make a shtadlus. That doesn't make any sense. So there was no din that Moshe should go and hit the ground for mon to come flying. Because in Gashmias, his shtadlus is not measured by you doing something that makes no sense. Ishtadlus is something that you could logically put it together and say, this ishtadlus logically will bear fruit. But Ruchnis is not that way. So since the whole Torah is compared to water, when it came to the rock, which symbolizes Torah, here Hashem said ishtadlus has to be made. Even if you can't explain it, could you explain that by hitting the rock, water is going to come to feed an entire... No, it makes no sense. But since there's Ruchnis, by Ruchnis you have to do it. Who was able to give us the water out of the rock, the schus of ishtadlus that doesn't make sense? Miriam. In the schar that she went to make ishtadlus that had no pshat, in that schar, she was zoiche that the water that came from the rock with a ishtadlus that made no sense also bore the same pears. Those were the same fruit that came out. The emes is that the Torah is chokhmah likus. The Torah's chokhmah comes from Hashem. The seichel anushi, the human mind with all its deficiencies, doesn't have the capacity to understand Torah logically, to master Torah. Chazal tells us that Moshe, for the 40 days that he was in the Shamayim, hoyaloymi Torah mishakcha. He learned and forgot, learned and forgot, learned and forgot. Right? So really, why toil? Ultimately, the Torah has to be given to you as a matana. Ultimately, Torah has to be given to you as a matana. So why bother? Just sit there and let the Rebbeinu Shem put it in. That's what happens at the end of the day anyway. What do we say in the Birchas HaTorah? Hamalami Torah, Lama Yisrael. Hashem is the one that gives it to us. So why do we bother working so hard? Just sit down and say, okay, Rebbeinu Shem, put it in there. Which is ultimately what's going to happen anyway. But that's not the way it works. Oh no, I'm mailing. Hashem wants we should make, even though the Ishtadlus doesn't explain itself, it doesn't make sense. A Novi should sit there to try to get Nevuah. Nevuah got to be given to you. That's the Mishnah Novice. Yes, Torah is a Yerusha. Ultimately, you're going to get Torah. It's not going to be logical that your work, it's like an inheritance that falls to you. But Haskein Atzmucha L'Ulmai Torah. If you'll be Haskein Atzmucha, then Takeh will come as a Yerusha. But you have to make the Yishtadlus. You have to do that. You have to do that work. You have to toil. That's the job that you have to do. And that's the idea, that's the concept. And that's the pshat in Bechukos HaTeilechu. Because to tell somebody to toil to understand Torah, it's a choik. Because it doesn't make sense that the ishtadlus will work. But that's the choik, Shetiu HaMeilem HaTeil. That you have to do it. Hashem will then give it. But you have to toil. So the amelus is not a logical amelus. In science, you could say, you know, toil and you'll get it. Okay, medicine, law, toil and you'll get it. But in learning, ultimately, it's got to come as a matana anyway. So melu, the toiling doesn't make sense, really. But no, that's the b'chukos ha'teilechu, that's the chuk, shetiu ha'melum b'teh. That's the concept. The Eitz Hadas, the fruit of the Eitz Hadas was to make a person into have the Das Elokim, to have heavenly Das, to somehow be able to, with our Das, master the Ruchnius, the spirituality. That's not the idea. That's not our job. Our job is, we don't need to have the Eitz Hadas. Hashem gave us the Issa to have the Eitz Hadas. So when we ate the Eitz Hadas, we were poigim in this whole concept of just letting the Rebbeinu Shalom do the job, that Torah is a choik, that mastering Torah is a choik. We wanted to make it seichel dik. That's through the Yetz Hadas. And that's what the Nochash told Chava. Hashem knows that if you lead from the Yetz Hadas, for Yisim Kelekim, Yoide, you'll have the knowledge, you'll be able to. That was the Chet of the Yetz Hadas. What's the Kapor of the Yetz Hadas? The Kapor of the Yetz Hadas is the Paradumen. The Kapor of the Yetz Hadas is somebody understanding that it's not through our Das to acquire the Torah. It's our Melos. The Das, the Rabbeinu Shem, delivers the Torah to us. And that's the reason why in the Parsha Paradumen we learn Zois HaToyra Odom Ki Yomos Boil. Because that's really our job by Torah. Our job by Torah is to toil, and ultimately, the Torah is given to us by Matone. Okay, Shabbos.